Next on BYUSN, the campaign trail for BYU football to get in the college football playoff in full swing after the Cougars' 11-1 regular season. But will it make a difference? Is it too little too late? Four-star quarterback Ryder Lyons, right on time, made it official yesterday, signing with BYU football. What does his entrance into BYU mean for the future of Cougar football?
Radio analyst Hans Olsen joins the show to preview Saturday's Big 12 championship game. What's the Cougars' path to an upset over Texas Tech? And could Sione Moa return from BYU Saturday? What the latest injury report tells us. It's a buzzer-beating edition of BYUSN. Let's get it.
Hamlin at the buzzer. Good! And BYU survives.
Listen, it still counts as a win, as ugly as the game was. Olivia Hamlin, the true freshman, to the
Baller.
Rescue. That is the appropriate way to start today's BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Thursday, December 4th. I am Spencer Linton, alongside a man who's been following Bryce Harper's career for a very long time, Jerem Jordan.
It's a fun story. My wife was the sports information director for the women's soccer team. She didn't know what Bryce looked like. He was waiting for his girlfriend at the time, Kayla Varner, on the team. And she said, hey, are you with the grounds crew? And he's like, no. He'd already been the first pick and on the cover of Sports Illustrated, by the way. He said, no. He said, oh, do you mind just getting out of the shot? Like, we're going to – he's like, okay. I'm like – she told me that later. I said, you asked if Bryce Harper was on the grounds crew? Which is fantastic. So Bryce actually stormed the field after the Marquette PK win in the NCAA tournament for women's soccer. And he was at football practice yesterday, which is super cool. The two-time MVP, BYU football embracing him, which is awesome. He's also said before that he hates BYU. So there are two ends of the spectrum here. But we welcome Bryce with open arms, hanging out at BYU football practice yesterday with Kalani and the team. That's cool.
One of my first prominent memories of Bryce Harper was during the Junior College World Series, because he bypassed college baseball. He wanted to, like, expedite his ability to get into the Major League Baseball draft.
Southern Nevada, right?
So he went to community college as a 17-year-old. He's at the JUCO World Series. Terrible call. Like, the strike is not even close to the zone. He, like, subtly, calmly draws this big, long line where the ball was in the dirt. See you later!
You're the number one pick in the MLB draft. And you're in Grand Junction playing in the JUCO
World Series. Umpire, was like, took his bat, slowly draws this long line outside the zone.
Listen, you'll get run in intramural games if you do that, too, here. Just saying.
I knew Bryce was a dog in that moment. Oh, my goodness. Also, when he hit 12 home runs as a 12-year-old in the same game.
Wow, that's a good story.
That's also wild. On that note, rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
I mean, we're 11-1, and we're the only Power Conference team that's playing for a championship that's not in the top 10. I'm going to be honest, it's a little disrespectful. You know, if your job is to put the comparisons up there, but you leave BYU graphic out, but the talent there is unbelievable.
Ultimately, Ryder decides, hey, look, this is the best place for me to go, and it comes up BYU at the end.
What's Trending, presented by Intermountain Healthcare, the official medical provider for BYU Athletics. If you can't tell, we have a myriad of things to discuss today, including BYU football's historic National Signing Day yesterday that was capped off eventually with BYU bringing in highly touted four-star quarterback Ryder Lyons.
We can say his name finally.
Ryder Lyons.
Welcome.
For all to hear. Out of Folsom, California and Folsom High School, 6'3", 225 pounds, four-star recruit, highest-rated recruit in the Kalani Sitake era to commit to BYU, number six quarterback in the 2026 class for the country. BYU was his first offer all the way back in eighth grade.
Wild.
Jerem, that is insane. The recruiting list, who didn't recruit Ryder Lyons?
I don't think Utah State did.
Okay, maybe the Aggies passed on him. Dual threat quarterback to the max, passed for almost 10,000 yards and 117 touchdowns in his high school career. Also rushed for almost 1,800 yards and 50 touchdowns as a prep star.
50 rushing touchdowns?
That's insane. That is unbelievable. He accounted for 167 total touchdowns in his high school career.
Not bad.
Called to serve in the Orlando, Florida Spanish-speaking mission. Again, BYU, his very first offer, he liked that. He mentioned how important that was to him, that they were the first to the table.
Yep.
Rocket arm, great athlete. and, of course, a state champion. So he comes with that swagger as well. All that said, I mean, what does the signing of Ryder Lyons mean for the future of BYU football?
I mean, this is the best player BYU signed in a long time. You think about some of the great quarterbacks BYU signed, and you want, like, this guy to hit, like, maybe Ben Olsen didn't and Jay Keeps didn't as much as we wanted. Ryder seems like the real deal. Everybody wanted him. He seems like he's got all the skills, and he's dialed in the proper attitude. Like, he's a product of 2025. Like, he's a TikTok superstar. You know, he's going to be the most eligible bachelor in Provo, take it over for Chase Roberts in a couple of years.
It's a vacant spot.
Yeah, it's like, it's a thing, you know, when after his mission. He says he's going to return January 27 and play for BYU. So exciting, you know, in the timeline of having quarterbacks stacked with Bear and Ryder. He is awesome. Like, I can't wait for him to throw passes to Brock Harris and BYU have bought blocking for BYU. Like, it's going to be a fun future. Best of luck to him on his mission. He comes back. He gets in the mix. You know, he learns the system. Ryder's the real deal, man. We've been very excited about him for a long time. ESPN's number 35 overall player.
Wow.
I mean, incredible. So he's got all the skills to pay the bills, Spence.
It's incredibly validating for the program in general to pull in this caliber of a player and for BYU to be back again consistently in the quarterback business. That matters at BYU, and Ryder Lyons seems to be the next guy. I know that there are some conversations out there about, well, when does he get back? How does that potentially impact Bear Bachmeier? If he does return in January of 2027 to start with BYU, Bear would be going into his junior season. Perhaps Ryder could redshirt and learn the system. We don't know, but right now it's just awesome to have Bear Bachmeier
later.
And then Ryder Lyons in the pipeline. Yeah, BYU is absolutely back in the quarterback business.
Yeah, you think if Ryder, let's say it went really, really well, and Ryder, you know, played 3 years and had a redshirt out of the gate. So 27, 28, 29, 30. You're into 2030 now with guys you trust. Again, things can change. Everything can change suddenly. You know, frankly, BYU is going to have to fight to keep Bear here. He's going to get some lucrative offers from other schools. That's just how this works. Let's just say it out loud.
Free agency every year.
Absolutely. We say moral agency around here, but free agency when it comes to the money, absolutely. So, yes, Bear is going to have to choose BYU again. Kevin Young is going to have to choose BYU again when he gets offers after this season. BYU goes to the Elite Eight or Final Four, we hope. Like, that's how this works. Kalani's been extended how many times the last 4 years? Has it been 4 in 4 years? When you have success, you have people that want those people, like Travis Hansen mentioned. So it's all part of the deal. We don't know what it's going to look like in the future, but you just do what you can right now. And right now, BYU signed Ryder Lyons, and they have Bear Bachmeier as a freshman. This is great.
When you're a Power 4 program, and you've won 22 of the last 25 games, and you're in the college football playoff conversation, and you're going to a Big 12 title game, that also helps with recruiting.
Yes, it does. Kalani Sitake gave us a strong opinion yesterday when he was on the program. If you haven't seen the full conversation, go back on our YouTube channel and watch it. It was great. Talked about the playoff committee rankings being left off a graphic and more in this comment yesterday that went viral.
I said I wasn't going to campaign and all that, but the season's done now, and we're going into championship game, championship mode. And I'm just going to be honest, it's a little disrespectful. You know, if your job is to put the comparisons up there, but you leave BYU graphic out, and you're comparing other schools, and then last week when you go 9 through 15 and you put them all up except for you subtract BYU and Utah, it seems like that's kind of maybe done on purpose, and maybe a committee shouldn't be doing that on purpose, you know, in my opinion. And if your job is to honestly compare it, then don't leave us out of the conversation.
And I think that graphic was ESPN-based, not the committee itself per se, although both are similarly frustrating, Spence. And then there's this, the Big 12 posts Read 'em and Weep, and it's BYU versus Notre Dame in some facts, which I love. I frankly wish this would have happened 3 weeks ago, but I do like that it happened at all. So do you feel like any of this backlash, the posts there, the Kalani comments, other posts from the Big 12 and other national writers, is it too little too late? Will it have an impact on the committee?
Yeah, unfortunately, it is too little, too late. And I think the biggest issue was when BYU lost to Texas Tech, they dropped well below Notre Dame after that game. It was an undefeated BYU going into Lubbock, one lost team that didn't look good against the Red Raiders. Sure. But falling 5 spots for losing a game on the road against a top 8 team in the rankings the playoff committee puts together And just assuming that, well, clearly Notre Dame and Oklahoma and Alabama are way better than BYU, that is where the real disrespect comes in. It just was like they were waiting to just see where they could finally get BYU out of the mix. And now BYU answered the bell, unlike last year. They didn't lose a Kansas game.
Right.
They finished off a really tough stretch. They played their best game against TCU the week after they lost to Texas Tech. That showed me a lot about this team.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they're way different. They played their worst game, followed up by their best game. That is a bounce back. And then you figure out a way to win at Cincinnati, and you beat UCF by 20. You're 11-1. You're in your conference championship game. The metrics all scream BYU, and we'll show you some notable metrics that favor Notre Dame as well. We're not overlooking the fact that they are better than BYU in FPI and in the apparently most important stat for the committee this year, game control and average margin of victory. But everywhere
margin
else—
margin of victory shouldn't be considered. That's in the official criteria.
Everywhere else that are in terms of metrics that are in the official criteria, BYU is the clear leading candidate. So why is there no conversation about BYU? And it just, while the campaign has been fantastic this week from a bunch of national analysts and Dave Portnoy and Provo Dave's taking on full steam and RG3's the weekend, it feels like BYU has too much of an uphill battle to climb.
Yeah, and RG3 is like, stop persecuting Christians. It's like, Notre Dame is above BYU. They're doing just fine in that conversation, which makes me laugh. But it is too little too late. And unfortunately, you know, there's not a situation in my mind where BYU is going to be able to lose and climb into the top 10.
What could happen
Alabama
possibly
has to
in
lose
this game?
By 30 and BYU lose by 3 and maybe, you know. Notre Dame doesn't play. Like, they're not going to fall when they don't play. How are you gonna go up, you know, if you're BYU? You just have to win the game, and you've got to pull off a massive upset. You're 12.5-point dog. In BYU's mind, it's not a big upset. BYU feels like it's more closely matched to Texas Tech than everyone else kind of thinks, especially that line. BYU's just got to win, man.
Let's zoom out and look at all of the metrics that we have referenced and talked about, but put them onto one screen when you are truly assessing BYU versus the Golden Domers. The always important win-loss record seems to stand out, Jerem. 11-1,
apparently that doesn't matter, though, Spence. BYU is the lowest-ranked 11-1 Power 4 team in the history of the AP poll. They've always
amazing.
Been in the top 10. Always. So that's where it feels. I've said it a bunch. I'll repeat it. I don't feel like playing the victim, whatever. BYU is absolutely the victim this time. Absolutely. And it's really frustrating. Better SOS, better strength schedule, 2 ranked wins. Notre Dame only has 1. The 2 losses, though, they're really being rewarded for some reason. Best wins, better. It's just tough. You know, the FBI there for Notre Dame, yes, that's better.
I had some Notre Dame fans.
Great, you got 1 on the graphic. Congratulations.
Some Notre Dame fans in my mentions.
They've been in my mentions for weeks, too.
In a roundabout way, telling me to open my eyes, using stronger language, but to open my eyes to the fact that Notre Dame played competitive games in both of their losses. Like, okay.
All I heard was loss there.
I'm not denying that.
Loss is? BYU only has 1.
Also, one of Notre Dame's competitive losses was on their home field in South Bend. That should matter for something. BYU's lone loss came on the road in one of the toughest places to play a college football game this season, certainly in the Big 12.
Yeah. Well, in the country, that's a top 4 team.
Then they kept pointing to the fact that BYU struggled against a bad Colorado team. And my response was, how do you explain what Notre Dame did against Boston College then later in the season? Oh, yeah. We won by 15. I know you needed a late touchdown to make that game not weird against a what? 2-10 team, 1-11 team?
Yeah.
Like, what are we're splitting hairs here. Like, it comes down to
up 30 points to Purdue?
Do the wins and losses matter, Jerem? Like, at
apparently
some point,
not.
The wins and losses have to matter, and strength of record, and strength of schedule. That's all advantage BYU. I know, game control, FPI, but what is FPI? Like, it's not about, like, what has actually happened on the field. There are a bunch of other mitigating factors in that, including recruiting rankings from the previous year.
If BYU's strength schedule was 60, I could see the argument here. It's not. It's 35. It's better than Notre Dame's.
It's plus 8 compared to Notre Dame, and it's plus 7 in strength of record.
Yeah.
So, it, yeah.
I'm apathetic at this point.
It's sad, but we are here. Yeah. So, our question of the day. What's your best argument for BYU's case to be in the projected college football playoff field? I like what you just brought up. It's history that BYU is the first team ever in the modern era as a power conference team to go 11-1 and not be ranked in the top 10. Huh?
What do you think BYU would be if they were independent with this situation? Would they be that much further down? I was hoping being in the Big 12 would launch BYU into space where they were fine in this, but it's not the Big 12's fault. I'm just disappointed that it hasn't happened. I think Big 12's been awesome. I've loved being in the Big 12. It's just a bummer. It's like if BYU was independent, would they be 14th?
Maybe.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
15th?
All right. You take the first response here.
Jared Gold says, hands down the blind resume. Put ours against everyone else. Have someone rank them without seeing the logos. When you say everyone else, you probably mean like the teams that are, what, 7 through 12? And have someone rank them without seeing logos. We will likely end up 7 or 8. I get the other schools have good losses, but what about the schools that only has one loss to the number 14? Yeah, if BYU had played Texas Tech to a 14-point game, they would be up a spot or two. This, unfortunately, is the reality. So BYU needed to play a little bit better in that game. That was within BYU's control. The rest of this stuff is not.
At BYU Clark, BYU has not lost to a non-playoff team.
Yeah,
Texas A&M, Alabama, Oklahoma, Notre Dame, and Miami all have. So,
currently constituted in the top 10.
Okay, right. I was going to say, Notre Dame's two losses have come against Texas A&M and Miami. Miami's just on the outside.
Like, so that's a non-playoff team.
That, technically speaking, is a non-playoff team.
By only two spots.
Weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram. By the way, I love John Gruden's proposition for the college football playoff.
That was fun. And Kalani sort of alluded to that. Like,
yeah.
Let's play a 13th.
Play other games.
Have a 13th data point. Because BYU will be punished this weekend. Are they going to be rewarded if they play a competitive game? No.
Also, expanding the playoff would also kind of do what John Gruden...
I don't like 24, though. About. Just give me 16. We're good.
Yeah, 16.
The Big 12 Football Awards will be released today. Let's go. Should L.J. Martin be the Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year?
I think he should because of how valuable
he
is.
Oh, the BYU guys say L.J. Martin should be the Offensive Player of the Year.
Let's look at his numbers. Okay, he's been relied upon more than any other running back in the league with 217 attempts.
I'm just kidding.
Okay, 1,229 rush yards. That's also tops.
Yeah.
1,453 all-purpose yards, also tops. 11 rushing touchdowns, tied for second. And 5.7 yards per carry against that schedule that BYU has played. Not all Big 12 schedules are created equally, Jaron. BYU has played the toughest Big 12 schedule, I feel, in the entire conference.
Well, it's SOS is highest, is it?
Yes.
Isn't it?
So if you want to base it on that, then yeah, they've played the toughest Big 12 schedule. So to do what he's done, and let's not forget that he had to leave the Iowa State game very early. So
he missed about three quarters of the
yes.
game. Yeah. He didn't play the second half of the Portland State game.
Those numbers are in play, missing
whatever
somewhat significant time.
Yeah.
And in the big game, but he's been able to put it together. Like, I think he should be the guy.
Correction on what I just said. BYU's fourth strongest strength schedule in the league. West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Kansas.
So that's the best strength of record, correct?
Yes.
Of any
the
team
strength
in the
of schedule.
The best strength
yeah.
of record.
Yeah, I think he should be the guy. I could see, you know, an argument for Baron Morton. Who's number one efficiency guy, nearly 68%. They lost the game he didn't play.
That matters.
Like MVP vibes there, yeah. right? I could also see Eric McAllister of TCU. He went north of 1,000. But TCU wasn't in like kind of that top three. So I could see LJ winning this because BYU, you know, tied for first in the regular season. No one talks about it in that way, but that's what it was. Give me LJ, Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year.
Yeah, if Baron Morton wins it, I'm not going to lose any sleep.
I'd like LJ to win it, though. I think he deserves it.
Barron's been playing on a bum ankle. He's been doing amazing things, not super healthy. Like, so that, too, is...
He's got a stress fracture in his
pretty
leg.
Pretty incredible.
He's
in
a boot all week, and then they take it off basically for the games and practice.
We'll see if that makes an impact in this weekend's game. Okay, next question as we think about Big 12 awards. Is Bear Bachmeyer a lock to be Big 12 Freshman of the Year?
1,000,000%. They handed out 15 Freshman of the Weeks. Do you know how many times he won Freshman of the Week?
It wasn't more than half?
It was 7.
Oh.
And the next closest was 2, Bird Ficklin. So give me Bear Bachmeyer for all the reasons we know. He's been spectacular. We can't say enough nice things about Bear and what he's done this year. There's a bear on the loose in Arlington! And he should be the Freshman of the Year, Offensive Freshman of the Year, in the Big 12.
I thought it was already named the Bear Bachmeyer Freshman of the Year Award.
Was it not? I thought it was the Delaney Gibb Football Offensive Freshman of the Year Award. Sue Lee Davis Offensive Freshman of the Year.
We said it early when Bear won, like, his fourth Freshman Award. Like, this is turning into a Delaney
this
Gibb situation
yeah.
in women's basketball. It's done. Yeah. Yeah. 100% he is the Big 12 Freshman of the Year. Well-deserved. But
and then there's this.
Should he be in the conversation for something even grander? Okay, the Sean Alexander Freshman of the Year finalists put out by @Brett_McMurphy.
Why is Julian saying there? He's a sophomore. What the heck?
He played at Alabama for Nick Saban. What? What? Before he went to Ohio State. How is he a freshman? Alabama quarterback Dejon Lee, Miami wide receiver Malachi Toney. I mean, they're all good players. Drew Messemaker of
yeah,
North Texas.
And he
Texas.
Has the best stats of anybody.
It's wild. Notre Dame quarterback C.J. Carr.
C.J.'s been great.
No one's,
not great
no
enough,
one's arguing that they haven't been great, but how is Bear Bachmeyer not
know.
In this list?
I don't know. Then there's Joey McGuire, Texas Tech head coach. Just buttering up BYU here.
Oh, yeah.
Congrats to the finalists, well-deserved and earned, but how does BYU's 11-1 true freshman quarterback, Bear Bachmeyer, get left off this list?
Yeah.
Joey, don't you dare butter us up before the game Saturday. Saying nice things. The vibes are great. I do love the sportsmanship between these two teams. Certainly different than it was when there was Spitgate 2 years ago. I appreciate where this is because it's different. You know, you have certain chances, certain schools and whatnot. But then you have Brett Brennan at Arizona, Joey McGuire, you know, Dave Aranda. There's a lot of respect for Klenstock and BYU in this league. Shout out to Joey, but don't you dare butter us up before the championship game, Joey. I see what you're doing.
Yeah, too,
I see what you're
late.
Doing.
It's already happened.
Okay, with that in mind, with the awards, which BYU players have the best case to be on the first team?
It starts with L.J. Martin and Jack Kelly, right?
Okay.
One on offense, one on defense. I think those two are the strongest on their respective sides of the ball. Parker Kingston is an interesting case. I think that as a wide receiver and then special teams guy. Like
which one? Because they're separate.
Probably special teams.
Okay.
I think Parker's numbers. I know that he had the muff punt against Texas Tech and it hasn't been as good as he wanted this year. But altogether, he's been pretty explosive still for BYU. Tanner Wall is a guy that I think is highly underrated at, say, 4 interceptions. And the magnitude of the interceptions that Tanner has pulled off in a few instances has been vital for BYU. Evan Johnson at corner also with 4 picks.
Mm-hmm.
Fale Tasatuala leads the team in tackles. And then Will Farron, I know, hasn't been as good as he was last year. But all those guys kind of come to mind. Jeremy, who else would you add? Or
LJ will be for sure.
Okay.
Bruce Mitchell needs to be. Here's
okay.
why. He's the third highest-ranked center in FBS, according to Pro Football Focus. Number
Not
one
in the
Big
conference,
12.
In the country.
Third in America. He should be among the 5 offensive linemen. Will Farron should be the place kicker. Most made field goals, second most extra points, first in points and points per game. He's the best place kicker. Parker Kingston should be the punt returner. They had 2 last year. One of 3 punt return touchdowns in the conference. Most punt return yards, best average. He should be there. And then Jack Kelly should be on defense. Among linebackers, first in sacks, second in TFLs. And then I could see an argument for Tanner Wall as well.
Yeah.
Tanner Wall is the third highest graded safety in the Big 12. Fale Tasatuala is 4th.
You're 11-1. Typically, that means you have a lot of good players that
yeah.
probably are among yeah. the elite of your conference.
There's some other dudes that could be in the mix for the second team, but we're only talking about first teamers.
BYU released our injury report for Saturday's Big 12 title game against Texas Tech.
Pretty revealing.
Underneath probable. Chase Roberts, expected, but Sione
yes!
Moa!
Yes!
Probable!
Yes! He's back, baby! Probably.
Wow. Nusi Tamoipeau played well this year for BYU. He is probably Uluvai Fetuli. And then Peyton Van Steenkist is also back for BYU. Key and need questionable. Only one listed out. That is linebacker Max Alford. But Chase Roberts, Sione Moa, Nusi Tamoipeau, all of those
Bro.
Guys back and
Bro.
Ready.
This number is big. 30.
This is big.
Number 30 going to play.
I didn't think we were going to see him
like.
Until later in December.
I know. I think this helps a ton. It's another galvanizing rallying point for BYU. He's such a good runner, blocker, catcher. He's 3-tool running back. I am excited out of my mind that Sione Moa looks like he's going to play in this game.
Yeah, what kind of impact will that
and,
have on
and
the game?
And don't forget, Justin Kirkland and Tommy Prassis, who have been redshirting at the
They're
end of this
in.
Year. They are in. They are back. It doesn't affect the redshirt anymore. This is postseason. BYU has not been healthier or more equipped to play a game since ECU.
That's quite the statement.
Yeah. Full bore BYU. Let's go.
All right. Jack Kelly and company on defense feeling healthy.
LJ's shoulder is better than
Glasker's
it was in Lubbock.
Feeling good. Yeah, LJ
All that.
Looks like a totally different player now than he was
Let's
in
go.
Lubbock.
We've mentioned it. Number 11 Brigham Young University's intercollegiate college football team is going to play Texas Tech for the Big 12 championship. 10 a.m. Eastern. Pregame on BYU TV, BYU Radio. The game's at noon Eastern on ABC and BYU Radio. And, of course, you know where you're going to get your postgame coverage. Spence with all the interviews. BYU TV, BYU Radio.
It's sold out, by the way.
Yeah, baby.
Anticipate the biggest crowd ever to watch a Big 12 championship game. How about it?
Can't wait.
Up next, BYU football radio analyst Hans Olsen is back on the show. Jerem Jordan takes Hans one-on-one, verbally.
Yeah, I can't get past him, let's be honest.
Why will this game be different? He answers that question. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by Intermountain Health, official medical provider for BYU athletics.
Just did what the players wanted to do. We're trying to go for 12-0, but the next best thing is 11-1, and then we have a chance for redemption on the one that we lost.
So this is going to be a physical game. It's going to be a lot of fun. I love the preparation. I like the focus from our team. Let's keep the momentum in a positive way going. It's going to be fun to see all the fans there too.
Yes, it is sold out in Lubbock for the Big 12 championship. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. I'm Jerem Jordan alongside Spencer Linton. This morning I spoke with radio analyst Hans Olsen about a bunch of things. Kalani's extension, signing day, why the game against Texas Tech could be different, and of course, the Big 12 awards and LJ Martin. Here's my conversation with Hans Olsen. No one has great lighting in a car interview like Hans Olsen. Hans, how's it going? You're looking great this morning.
It's going fantastic, Jerem. And you know why I've got shades on? Because BYU's future is so bright.
Let's go! Kalani Sitake. Come on. This could be the best week in BYU football ever. Because Kalani renews the contract, extends the contract. Signing day was unbelievable. Top 20 class. There could be a couple others today. Let's go. And then, of course, if BYU wins Saturday, they are Big 12 champs in the college football playoff. Let's start with Kalani. You played with Kalani. You know him well. What does his extension mean for the future of Cougar football?
It means that BYU is fully committed. It means that they pushed all their chips to the middle of the table. They are pot committed, and now they're all in, Jerem. And now everybody gets to benefit from the advantages of having a competitive team here in the state of Utah. And that's exactly what they're going to be. They're going to be extremely competitive because they'll be top of NIL funding. They're going to be working on facilities. They have assistant coach retention because they put together a really nice assistant pool. And just remember, Kalani wasn't just fighting for Kalani. Kalani was fighting for the advancement of BYU football. He's got a lot of great mentors in his life, and he saw a lot of development under Lavelle Edwards. He saw a lot of development under Kyle Whittingham. He saw how those guys leveraged, how they developed, and how they stayed where they are loved and not take off for something else. But when you get the opportunity, you have to leverage it to push a university to be more competitive. Kalani wants to stay at BYU, but not stay just to be kind and friendly. He wants to stay and win championships. And so all the leverage that he took was an effort to do that. And so you're in a great place, Cougar Nation.
I think everybody benefits because if you're talking about facility upgrades, I think the fans will enjoy an improved, constantly Lavelle Edwards Stadium, let alone the product on the field. So I think everyone benefits in this, which is great. Now, certainly, this could have been a disastrous week if Kalani left and if he's still coaching the game. You know, it's mixed emotions of trying to go on to the next thing. Bronco Mendenhall and that staff for BYU Utah 2015, they were working on Virginia stuff. They wanted to win the game, but they were working on Virginia stuff. Instead, this can be this galvanizing moment. Do you think this helps BYU beat Texas Tech?
Yeah, I think it could energize the team. You saw the reaction when he told them on the field that he'd be staying, and you know they all bunched together and they all started jumping in unison, and you could just see the love and excitement that they had. So I think that that was a great moment. And you know what I think's lost in all of this is, as Kalani is having to get things taken care of money-wise, I know that Jay Hill and Aaron Roderick and the rest of the staff, they're all stuck in meetings. They're in film rooms. They're not sitting at home talking to their agent like, hey, we got to leverage something on our end. No, Kalani's saying to them, look, guys, I got this. I got this. Let me take care of this business. Now, you take care of these game plans. You get these kids ready. I'll get this thing squared away. So they were working diligently to get this game plan put together while Kalani was trying to take care of business on the other end. I think between the excitement of Kalani announcing he's staying and the fact that you had those guys behind the scenes working, I think it's actually going to work out really well for BYU.
BYU is still a big dog, 12.5 points. It's going to be a sellout. It's going to be one of the biggest games BYU's ever played, Hans. Why will it be different than the game in Lubbock?
Well, this is my own saying about Jay Hill. His clock is never right twice a day. That's my saying. Now somebody's going to end up stealing that, but Jay Hill's clock is never right twice a day. It doesn't happen because he's so unpredictable. Things change so much with him. And he's got something up his sleeve again. I remember that quirky little smile he had before he took on Colorado in that Alamo Bowl. And he's got that same quirky little smile. So I don't really worry about Jay Hill. You know, he already put 4 sacks on this Texas Tech team. You know, they harassed that offense just with different blitzing. And you had Jack Kelly, who had 2 sacks. You had Isaiah Glasker had a sack. You had Ciali Acera had a sack. You had multiple pressures off the edge. So I know Jay Hill can keep this team under 30 points. I feel really confident about that. Now, I also think that BYU is going to get a nice little push and advantage because it's not in frickin' Lubbock. That place sucked, Jeremy. That place sucked. I came out of there with chapped lips. I looked like Bronco Mendenhall for about
nice.
5 days. Just like my lip was sloughing off.
Too dry? So dry? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it was dry and it was windy and it was just horrible. It just was the worst. And the fans and ESPN game day, it was just crazy. Well, now it's not exactly a neutral site because it's only about 4 hours away. But you know BYU fans have gobbled up those tickets. And out of the 90-some-odd thousand seats that are sold for this game, I'm expecting somewhere between 35 and maybe 40 to 42,000 BYU fans. That's what I'm, that's what I'm hoping for, fingers crossed. So that'll make a difference as well. Plus, Aaron Roderick knows he can't stay status quo. He put up 7 points in the first game. He's going to need to get to 28 points minimum. So how do you get 28 points? What do you got to do? How do you got to change up your offense? And I trust that Aaron Roderick will find something that will spark this game. And then you go to Kelly Popinga with his special teams. Can't muff a punt, can't shake 2 punts, and you got to make sure you're making those field goals. So big-time special teams effort. You know, here's the thing, Jerem. People don't understand how much better BYU could have been in that game. As soon as that game finished, I said, I want that rematch. I want that rematch. I want to see this offensive line get another opportunity at this defensive front. I want to see Aaron Roderick get another opportunity at this defensive coordinator. And I want to see Bear Bachmeier get another shot at this defense in its entirety. Because Bear Bachmeier was shut down for 12 yards rushing on 11 carries. And I'm saying, unleash the bear, baby. I've been, you know, really concerned with his carries and the amount of rush you put on him. In this one, it's all or nothing. It's your play-in game. Unleash him. Make sure that when he runs confident, because he didn't run confident against Texas Tech. When you saw him break the pocket, he was really questioning, should I be doing this? Should I be doing this? Bear, do it, man. Do it. Do everything that you do well and take it to Texas Tech. I think a lot is going to be different.
Hans Olsen is the BYU radio analyst here on BYU Sports Nation. Certainly the momentum of everything was big this week for the game Saturday, for the future of BYU football. Also for signing day. I was saying yesterday, Tuesday, hey, this has got to happen today because signing day is Wednesday. Well, Kalani is extended, and BYU brings in perhaps its greatest signing class ever. What do you make of what BYU has done in recruiting? And now we don't have to justify, hey, they were 44th. We can say, no, they were top 25.
Well, I think that those recruits knew that it was going to be Kalani. I think that those recruits love those coaches. They love the success that they're seeing. And they love the difference of Brigham Young University. because it is a different collegiate experience. Whether you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints or not, it's a different experience, and it's a great experience. And I think that they're starting to get a real feel for that. And what I love about this, Jerem, is I do feel like the world of NIL and transfer portal and being able to play take players out of Michigan and take players out of Texas and take players out of Florida and find these different players and put them here in Provo, I think that you're showing a whole different group of people what this church and what this university is all about. So it is a very unique signing class. I'm really excited about the Tanner kid. Mike Tanner was one of my teammates at BYU, and his son is supposed to be an insane offensive lineman, so I'm excited to see what he can do. I know it was a little bit of a delay for Ryder Lyons, but, you know, Ryder Lyons signs, and you just hope that he keeps that commitment as he goes through his mission and he watches Bear Bachmeier and all his success. I'm kind of hoping that he takes a page out of the Manning book, and I would hope that anybody would take a page out of the Manning book. Peyton Manning, a teammate of mine, I got to play with him for 3 years and absolutely loved him. Watching his family manage Arch, how impressive has this been? They've kept their mouth shut. Arch has kept his mouth shut. They had a couple of bumps in the road. They knew it would take a bit to develop under Steve Sarkisian, but they trusted Sarkisian. And look at how he's exploded at the back end of this season. I would tell anybody that is the recipe for success of a quarterback. So Ryder Lyons, if you really want to see how to succeed, go take a look at my boy Peyton Manning. Go look at the way the Mannings have handled Arch Manning as he sat behind Ewers and took the reps and took the lumps and then finally got the start. You'll be better if you sit and you wait and you watch when you get back from your mission as Bear Bachmeier is wrapping up his career at BYU. So I've got a lot of thoughts on it, but I do love the class. But Jeremiah, I'm always a little apprehensive with these signees. You never know who's going to pan out. You never know who's going to stick around, but fingers crossed that this crew does, because I think they got a lot of talent.
They're really special. Can't wait in a couple of years to see these guys. And for some of these guys, we'll see them in January, which is fun. The Big 12 awards will be announced today in football. Should LJ Martin be the offensive player of the year?
Yeah, he should be. I would imagine that they take a look at Baron Morton or they try to find a quarterback. But if they realize how critical LJ Martin has been to the success and the 11-1 record that BYU's put up, then they'll give it to LJ. If you take LJ off of this BYU football team, you probably have two or three more losses. That's how important he is to this team. And that's what the offensive MVP should be. It should be the guy that is the linchpin. It's the key to the success. It has to be a guy from one of the winningest teams. And it has to be a guy that if you took him off the team, everything changes. You can make a little bit of a conversation about that with Baron Morton because he wasn't on the field when they lost to Arizona State. It was Will Hammond, and you may see just how important he is, but I don't think anybody is more important to their team offensively than LJ Martin.
LJ Martin's been big time, 1,200 yards, could increase that quite a bit in the next couple of games. He's been fantastic. Hance, have a great call and pregame starting at 10 a.m. Eastern time on Saturday. We appreciate your time, and go Cougs!
Go Cougs! Hey, anybody that's driving down or flying down, if you see me, you make sure you come up. Give me some love. I love meeting all the Cougar fans. I love spending time taking pictures. It really is what makes this job so much fun. You know that, Jerem. So good luck to all Cougar fans out there. Good luck to Kalani Sitake. And I'll see you out there tomorrow.
Let's go, baby. If you miss any interviews like that one, trending topics, other BYU Sports Nation content throughout the week, like our interview with Kalani Sitake yesterday, go to BYU Sports Nation's YouTube channel where they are on demand.
Still on the way, where AJ DiBonsa and Richie Saunders land in a brand new NBA mock draft, plus the rest of a busy edition of Thursday Headlines. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. Let's roll out today's headline, sponsored by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Number 11, BYU football, released the injury report ahead of Saturday's Big 12 championship game against number 4 Texas Tech in Arlington. Probables, Chase Roberts, Sione Moa, Nusi Tamoipeo, Ulubai Fatuli, Peyton Van Steenkist. Questionable, Kian Need, tight end, out, Max Alford, linebacker. Yesterday, the Big 12 also announced it is sold out. The game sold out, projected to be the all-time attendance record for the Big 12 championship game. That's pretty awesome.
How about that? And how about BYU football officially signing 4-star quarterback Ryder Lyons as part of their historic 2026 recruiting class? Lyons, the number 60 overall player, number 6 quarterback in the 2026 class, and the highest rated signee in the Satake era, third highest in program history. BYU in total signed 19 players and has the 20th ranked recruiting class in the country according to 24/7 Sports.
Number 9 men's basketball beat Cal Baptist 91-60 last night at the Delta Center. Kaba Kata led the way. Career high 23 points, 14 boards for his first double-double of the season. He steadies Solstice Magic from Richie Saunders.
There you go.
I was trying to steal some power from Richie. Hey, let me tell you a fun fact. Wearing this headband makes you see the basket 2 times bigger, so that's what I got to say.
I love the Oklahoma City Thunder nature of that interview with the team around him. That's great. Freshman phenom A.J. DeBonta, 22 points on 10 of 15 in just 25 minutes. He's now scored 15 points in every game this season, passing Kevin Durant for the second longest streak to start a career in the Big 12. That's cool. BYU 7-1 on the year. They'll travel to New York to play Clemson at Madison Square Garden Tuesday as a part of the Jimmy V Classic.
Can we create an all-headband team? At some point, we need to do that. And we need to include football guys as well.
Yeah.
Number 9 BYU, or sorry, I should say, the women's basketball team before 9th-ranked BYU took the floor beat Washington State 56-54 in the first game at the Delta Center thanks to a buzzer-beating game winner from freshman Olivia Hamlin.
Hamlin to inbound with 2.8 seconds to play. Goes to Hattie Ogden. Hamlin at the buzzer. Good! Olivia Hamlin! And BYU survives.
Indeed. Ugly game. Incredible finish right there.
All Hamlin. I saw was that last basket and some of these highlights, so I don't know what you're talking about.
Leading the way for the Cougars, who are 8-1 on the season. They play at Portland on Saturday. Tricky road game there.
Yeah, let's go. WCC vibes, right? 5-seed women's volleyball plays Cal Poly in the first round of the NCAA tournament tonight in Los Angeles. Coverage begins at 8 Eastern on ESPN+. If they win, they play the winner of 4-seed USC, who BYU already beat in non-conference at LMU in LA earlier this year, or Princeton in the second round tomorrow night.
And A.J. DeBonta and Richie Saunders both featured in the latest 2026 NBA mock draft from The Athletic. DeBonta projected to go number 3 overall to the Brooklyn Nets, teammates with Yegor Dielman potentially.
That'd be fun.
Saunders projected to go in the second round, number 38 overall to the Sacramento Kings. Not sure how I feel about that.
Not again.
No! After the break, we're joined by BYU alumni Dallas Chapter President Taggart Barron to talk about an incredible BYU Fan Fest that's happening in Dallas this weekend as we prepare for the Big 12 title. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by BYU Continuing Education, inspiring lifelong learning for Cougar fans everywhere.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation live in Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. And in case you missed it, we got some great news. BYU football in partnership with the BYU Alumni Association announced there will be a fan fest in Dallas tomorrow night. Huge effort by BYU Athletics to get involved in this front. Obviously, the Alumni Association playing a huge role and joining us now to preview what's to happen in the great state of Texas is Taggart Barron, the BYU Alumni Dallas Chapter
Looking
President.
Looking dapper.
Taggart,
nice.
Welcome to BYU Sports Nation as one of the most formally dressed people we've ever had on the show.
All right. Thanks, Spencer. Thanks, Jerem. It's great to be here.
Let's get into what it takes to put together a tailgate of this magnitude. Do preparations even begin?
Well, see, usually when we do one of these tailgates, we've got, 6 months notice. And we didn't know until a week ago whether BYU was even going to be in this game. So it makes it really tough to nail down contracts and venues and so on. And then the time of the game is really challenged. 11 a.m. on Saturday, you can't really do a tailgate in the morning at 8 a.m., in this kind of weather. So we had to come up with a way to do something indoors on a Friday night. So BYU Athletic got involved. A lot of people came through to help. And we are literally renting out Globe Life Field, which is the home field of the Texas Rangers Major League Baseball
team. Amazing.
We're actually going to be down on the field.
That's going to be so cool. So it's free to get in, and then fans can buy food from the concessions in there, which will be open.
So a lot of times with these tailgates, we have to bring, you know, who's going to cater the food? Are we going to do some food trucks or whatever? No. We're at a baseball stadium. Globe Life Field said, we'll just open the concessions. So while you're hanging out, you can go swing by, get some hot dogs or some nachos or whatever, whatever you might buy if you're at a Rangers game.
How many fans are you anticipating will show up for this event in an historic scenario for BYU Athletics playing in their first ever Power Conference championship game the next morning?
It is historic. We think this is, in my view, this is the biggest football game in BYU football history. We are expecting, I don't know, roughly about 5,000 people, but we don't know. I mean, it could be 1,000, it could be 20,000. We're really not sure. We do have a website set up where you can request tickets, and Globe Life Field is requiring us to check tickets, but they are free. We just need people to request those as you're coming in.
What's the feeling like knowing BYU's actually in the game, and if they win, they're in the college football playoff versus last year where there was the disappointment? A lot of BYU fans had purchased tickets to the game.
The feeling is amazing. I mean, this is the biggest game in BYU football history. It's the first ever championship in a P4 conference in a sold-out NFL stadium. It's the first game after Kalani's dramatic extension, and it's a potential to launch BYU into the playoffs for a national championship where they could control their own destiny throughout the rest of the way. And potentially host a game at Lavelle Edwards Stadium if they get up to the 5-8 slot. And one more other thing, it's just one final chance to just stick it in the eye of the Big Ten Conference with the recruiting win over Penn State, the SEC in comparison with Alabama and Texas, and Notre Dame all in 1 week. This is going to be epic.
Yeah, so you're telling us there's something on the line.
I like all that stuff.
Okay. Yeah,
let's go.
We enjoy that. In terms of the sold-out game, how many BYU fans do you think will find their way into AT&T Stadium at Jerry's World for a game that is in Texas? And understandably, Texas Tech doesn't have as far to travel, much easier to get there for much of their university. So what type of crowd do you expect from BYU in the 80,000-plus that are anticipated to be there?
Yeah, a lot of people are estimating that 85,000. Oh, Texas Tech is going to blow us away because, yeah, they're just up the street. But what they don't realize is we've got over 6,200 alumni in the DFW area alone. If you expand that to the rest of Texas, you can double that. And if you go up into Oklahoma and Arkansas, you can add another 5,000 or 6,000. So we've got a lot of fans just in this area that are coming to the game, plus all of their families. And then you got a lot of people that are traveling, and I really think we're going to have in the neighborhood, like Hans Olsen said, in the neighborhood of 35 to 40,000.
Let's go.
Oh, baby.
Almost half of the stadium.
Can't wait.
We would love to see it. We'd also like to commend you on your efforts in the Cougs Care Service Project this weekend. Very cool. We're going to post a link to where you can get tickets for tomorrow's event on all of our social channels. Taggart, we appreciate the time. Keep up the great work, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Let's go.
In Dallas.
Nice job.
All right.
Nice
job. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Okay, 5-seed women's volleyball taking on Cal Poly tonight, first round of the NCAA tournament. BYU did not win the first round game last year. They got to win this one.
Let's go!
This is important. This team is on fire right now, 8 Eastern time, coming up tonight on ESPN+.
What is your best argument for BYU's case to already be in the projected college football playoff field? More responses to our question of the day next on BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. BYU Sports Nation is brought to you by PACS, healthcare careers built for victory.
Our question of the day is as follows. What's your best argument for BYU's case to be in the projected college football playoff field? Our elite voice of the day presented by PACS, healthcare careers built for victory, from at Adrian Clem, who says,
Adrian!
Power 4 conference member, 11-1 record with only loss to the number 4 team at their place. Nothing more needs to be said. Any other year, any other team in a P4, this would be a golden ticket.
Yep. Felt something stir inside of me on that one.
Today's Rise and Shoutout presented by Mountain America, official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Hey, Big 12 championship game going to be sold out, and the league finally came to BYU's defense.
If BYU has 30,000 fans there, that would be incredible.
I think it's going to happen. Let's go.
Rally! Our thanks to today's guests, Hans Olsen and Taggart Barron.
Sorry to Dennis Pitt, we ran out of time. I'm stoked for Sione Moa's probability.
Come on, Sione. For Jeremiah, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Ethan Slade, who beat Texas Tech back in 2023. Nice. See you tomorrow. Go Cougs.